The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
You wouldn't know it by watching the news or listening to the haters. But on crime, Mayor Lightfoot's got a plan. She's putting more police on the streets and getting more guns off them. When it comes to new strategies, new technology, Lightfoot's invested more than any mayor. Those are facts.
Those are facts.
Well, it must be a fact if it says so in a Lori Lightfoot commercial. Those are facts. Ladies and gentlemen, word of warning. Don't accept anything you hear in a commercial as a fact. Just a word of warning. I mean, vote for whoever you want. Love a commercial if you want. Love a mayoral candidate if you want. But don't say it's fact just because a mayor candidate said it in a commercial.
That adds a real piece of All right.
Oh, sorry. Focus, Ben. Focus.
You better focus. All right. Your Ben Jarofsky Show for Wednesday, January 25th. Is brought to you by SEIU Healthcare, Illinois, Indiana, the Chicago Federation of Labor, the Chicago Teachers Union, and Chicago Reader. ChicagoReader.com for all things there is to know the city of Chicago, where to go, what to do, what to eat, what to drink, concert listings. I've read a few where they talk about reefer and so much more, including columns from our very own Ben Jarofsky, Chicago Reader, ChicagoReader.com. And if you want to help out this program, you can. ChicagoReader.com/Jarofsky. J-O-R-A, V as in victory, S-K-Y. Woo indeed. It is Wednesday, January 25th, and this is the Ben Jarofsky Show. And now your host. You can call him mayor, just don't call him late for dinner. Chicago Reader columnist Ben Jarofsky.
Hello, everybody. Ben Jarofsky here. We're calling this Ed to Pence Wednesday, and here's why. So, yes, ladies and gentlemen, I know I've been preoccupied with the mayoral election. I know I've been talking about aldermanic races. I know I got my Chicago focus on. I can't help myself. As the song says, can't help myself. Sugar Pie Honey Bunch. I can't help myself. I'm an obsessive chronicler of Chicago politics, but that does not mean I've stopped watching the national scene. Oh, no. I watch that as well. Just haven't been talking about it as much lately. So I'm not going to talk about it today because this one, I love this story. Plus, Monroe Anderson is going to join us really soon. He's standing by ready to join us. I love this story coming out of D.C. Apparently, Mike Pence has some vice presidential papers in his possession that he shouldn't have. First was Donald Trump, then Joe Biden, now Mike Pence.
We're going to keep going back. We're going to get to, like, Jimmy Carter. The next thing you know, Abraham Lincoln. We're gonna find it all.
You stole my line. I was going to do Honest Abe is next in that cabin.
Oh, what's under this cherry tree? Documents. We got you, George Washington.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Pence. Like, why is Pence? Why do you even have documents? You didn't do anything when you're vice president. Trump didn't let you do anything. Shut up, Mike. Sit down, Mike. Remember the one where Trump was negotiating with, was it Schumer and Pelosi? I think it was. And Pence was in on Pence was like, I'm not saying a word. He just sat there like, not talking, not going to say a word, because no matter what I say, someone's going to get mad at me. So, like, why do you even have documents? Okay. And by the way, same thing with Biden. His paper, his documents are left over from his days as Obama's vice president. Like, why? Why do they give you anything? You're the vice president. You don't need anything. Anyway, so now all these people are weighing in on it. I just read an essay in MSNBC. I think Jimmy Coogan sent it to me. Shout out, Jimmy Coogan. I love it when friends and listeners send me stories, help me out, because, you know, there's only so much one guy can read. So I appreciate it when they send me stuff. Anyway, so it was an essay, and the guy goes, it's complicated, the guy writing the essay, because now we have three either former vice presidents or president with documents. And I go, no, it's not complicated. When an essayist uses the word complicated, it's kind of like one of those words to try to pretend as though he or she is going to be, quote unquote, fair. You know what I'm saying? Oh, it's a complicated situation here because there's three different characters who have these documents. Do we have a special prosecutor for all of them? No, it's not complicated. All right. One of the former presidents or vice presidents is a lot different than the other two. Donnie Trump, man. Donnie Trump took all these documents. For whatever reason, Lord knows, I don't know why he would, why Trump would want the documents, stashed them away, and then told, when the feds came to him asking for them, he said, no, I'm not giving them to you. And then the feds finally send in the feds to get them. Okay, that's different than Joe Biden, and it's different than Mike Pence. All right, so it's not complicated. There's one guy who gave two big middle fingers to the feds, and the other ones were like, oh, I found these things. Again, I wonder like what they were doing with the documents. Monroe Anderson, who will join us in a while, has his theory. He's a lot more forgiving than I am. But the point is, it doesn't matter. They're totally different than Donald Trump. And so now, but, you know, so Donald Trump, I got to give him credit. He's slick. He knows how to play the situation. So Donald Trump, he held on to his documents, forced the feds to get a subpoena to go get him, whipped that guy, MAGA, all fired up. Suddenly they were saying things like, if they can do it to Trump, they can do it to you. Hey, MAGA, they can do it to you. Duh. They do it to you at the drop of a hat. Do you think, MAGA, now just hold on, MAGA, to put your little MAGA brains on this. Do you think that the feds would have held off for over a year before coming get something they wanted from your basement or your attic or your garage? They gave Donnie about a year of having him play around. Do you think they would have given you a year? Come on, MAGA. You got a brain. Use it. Just
the bigger question for MAGA is, do you have anything the Fed wants?
Well, that's another question, all right? In the case they did. I'm just saying, I'm trying to have a engage MAGA, Monroe. I just want to let MAGA know I listen to them, and I just want to have an engagement with them and get their little brains fired up, okay? So MAGA was like, they got, oh, this is a civil liberties issue. If they come after Trump, they can come after me. All right. Well, we just dealt with that one. There's no real reason to come after Biden and Pence because they voluntarily turned over the documents. Hello, MAGA, big difference. So here's the funny thing. But because MAGA brilliantly played the refs, crying and whining like they do, okay, MAGA cries and whines more than any NBA player who claims he didn't foul when the replays clearly show he hacked the guy over the head. So MAGA got the Biden had to appoint a special prosecutor to look into Trump. Then, Merrick Garland appointed the special prosecutor. Then he had to appoint one to look into Biden. Now the issue is, well, do you appoint one for Mike Pence? We'll get Monroe's thoughts on this in a little bit. I'm like, yeah. Let's go. More special prosecutors. Love it. Let's, more stuff for me and Monroe to talk about, as if we don't have enough stuff to talk about. But you got to be consistent. Now, realistically, you really only need one special prosecutor because only one of these three people gave two middle fingers to the feds and refused to cooperate. But because MAGA's crying, they got Merrick Garland to appoint a special prosecutor for Biden. So now that's the rule. If they find one document in Barack Obama's attic, okay, one document, there'll probably be a special prosecutor to look into that. Jimmy Carter, one document in Plains, Georgia, get a special prosecutor. Because MAGA was crying, and when MAGA cries, they generally get their way. The funniest thing, in my humble opinion, is the response from Donald Trump. Let me just set this up a little bit. Donald Trump was the guy who was pestering Mike Pence throughout December and into January of 2020, 2021 to use his authority, which he didn't really have, to overturn the election. Joe Biden won the election, but Donald Trump wanted Mike Pence to declare Donald Trump the winner. Eventually, Mike Pence decided not to do that. And he told Donald Trump in a phone call, I will not do that. I'm sorry. I'm just going to affirm what we all know happened. Joe Biden won, to which Donald Trump called Mike Pence a pussy. I'm just saying what he called him. He called him a pussy. And then he stirred up an insurrection, which led to hundreds of MAGAites, Trump-loving MAGAites, waving a Trump flag, storming the Capitol, threatening to kill Mike Pence. Okay, that's the reality. Donald Trump set into motion a riot that the rioters were intending to get a hold of Mike Pence and kill him for not turning the election over to Donald Trump. So yesterday, Donald Trump played this card, Monroe. This is unbelievable. He, when the word broke that Mike Pence had documents in his possession that he shouldn't have had, and that there's a possibility a special prosecutor might be appointed, suddenly Donald Trump started weeping crocodile tears of love for Mike Pence. He posted a statement on his Truth Social account, and he said, quote, Mike Pence is an innocent man. He never did anything knowingly dishonest in his life. Leave him alone. Like Donald Trump cares about Mike Pence. Once again, MAGA is trying to pretend it's a victim when they're victimizing everyone else. All right, without further ado, I'm going to turn things over to Monroe Anderson. Monroe, should, in your humble opinion, Merrick Garland appoint a special prosecutor to investigate Mike Pence and his documents? Go.
Yeah, he should, because he did for Biden. So we got to do a tit for tat here. That's where we are in America right now. You do me and I do you. So yes, he has to, although he overplayed his hand. He was overly cautious, which Garland tends to do, in having a special investigator look into Biden's situation.
Yeah,
because the reality is that bringing the documents home out of where it is frowned upon, but it's not automatically a crime because accidents happen. Papers get mixed up. When I became press secretary to Mayor Sawyer as a Newsweek correspondent, Newsweek magazine correspondent, my office was in the old Amoco building. I can forget what name it is. Not a tall white one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Standard Oil.
Yeah. It was on the 79th floor there.
Whoa. Wait. Hold it. You told the story last week. You didn't tell me you were on the 79th floor.
Yeah.
Did you have a view?
No. No. I had a wall.
I was going to say.
There were views there, but I did not have one of them.
That's where Newsweek was. See, folks, ladies and gentlemen, that's just like, wow, you could trace the descent of weekly magazines by just thinking about that. Newsweek, which was number two at a time,
right?
Wasn't even the number one or number two at a time, had that kind of money, Monroe, that they could get that kind of real estate for their Chicago. It's just a satellite office, right? It's not even the main office. So how many, like 10 people work there?
That was in New York.
Main office in New York. Yeah. So, no, I know you left your boxes there because you were in such a hustle to get out.
Okay, I did. So my papers got all mixed up and what have you. So it was just me, and the papers were just of my writing and my research.
I know. Listen, you're a little more benevolent than I am on this one. I don't think it's the end of the world. Okay. That I believe I totally believe we overclassify documents.
Right.
I do not understand, for instance, and this is on a tangential point, why the FBI's secret tapes of people like Bobby Kennedy or John F. Kennedy or Martin Luther King are still under wraps. All three men are dead. There's they're no
because they did wrong stuff.
Who's the FBI?
Yeah. They had to Hoover it. Yeah. Not that the Kennedys weren't doing wrong stuff also. Yeah. You know, Dr. King was a lover.
Well, the Kennedys were too.
And so was Jack. And so there's stuff on them, but not stuff that would hurt the nation.
I understand that's the reason, but the point being, that's not a compelling reason.
No.
So covering up the crimes of the FBI in how they illegally taped Martin Luther King and tried to use what they could to extort him, to force him, to compel him to do, to back off on his civil rights crusade and his civil rights mission and his anti-war, particularly his anti-war mission.
Right, exactly.
That's really what they were worried about. But to compel him to use their secretly obtained tapes is not a compelling reason to keep that information hidden. Don't you agree with me on that point?
Well, it depends on whether you're the victim or the victee. And so from the victimizer, from their point of view, they want people, the American people, knowing that they were doing wrong.
Yeah.
You know, J. Edgar Hoover had tapes on everybody and blackmailed everybody.
Yeah.
That's how he stayed in the job as long as he did. And Trump the other day, I don't know if you saw this, claims that he has information on everybody. And he has a paper, so who knows? Maybe that's why his documents, he's keeping them.
You know who Trump has information on? Trump. Trump could blackmail himself.
He is blackmailing. He's his own worst enemy right now.
I know you saw Blazing Saddles back in the day. That my favorite, Cleavon Little takes the gun.
The guy says he's going to shoot it. He's going to shoot it.
Oh, I love that. I love that movie. And I love that scene. And may he rest in peace. Cleavon Little did a great job. You know, Richard Pryor was supposed to get that role. Right. And he gave it to Cleavon Little. But, you know, Monroe, I think Cleavon Little did a great job. You know,
he did. And Pryor didn't get it because they were confident that Pryor could make it through the movie without being for too long. He was really into drugs back then.
He was. He would have done it. Sometimes I wonder, he would have been hilarious in that role.
Right.
But it was a Cleavon Little. All right. We're good. Enough Blazing Saddles talk. I believe we overclassify, or not we, but the feds overclassify, make too many secrets, in general. I believe that feeds, we see it on the local level, right down to the local level. They make you file a Freedom of Information Act request for all kinds of things that should just be publicly available. And that feeds the cynicism of the population towards its government. It helps explain why 50% of the country just has no faith and they'll believe a charlatan like Donald Trump over the FBI or the CIA or anything at the New York Times. So it's not healthy to overclassify documents. So I believe you, I kind of buy your argument, Monroe, that it could be in a oversight. But the rules are rules. So you got to go back and gather the information.
Right. Now gathering the information is one thing. Having a criminal investigation, it seems to me to be ridiculous on people who aren't the criminals.
Yeah.
And versus the one criminal that is being investigated for being a criminal.
Yeah. And MAGA is so blatant about how they're playing this. Comer, the Republican in charge of investigations in the House, is blasting not Trump, who gave two middle fingers to the feds and held on to the documents and forcing the feds to send in the feds. He's not blasting Pence. He's blasting Biden. We have to look into what Joey B was up to. Right. You guys are so blatant.
And yeah, Hunter Biden had something to do with this, I'm sure.
Oh, my God. But no, we're going to now have three special prosecutors. There'll be three separate. Well, I don't know. They haven't officially appointed one in the case of Pence.
But they're going to have to. Yeah. Since you're doing Biden, then they're going to have what Garland's going to have to do is find a Democrat to investigate Pence, since he found a Republican to investigate Biden. I mean, this is a sorry state of affairs we're in right now.
Yeah.
And it's going to be that way for 2 years.
Well, it's interesting. Pence, I am no fan of Mike Pence.
Yeah.
But at least he plays by the general rules.
Right.
You know, he playing by the general
rules. He got caught in the glass. The don't throw stones if you live in a glass house situation.
Yeah.
In that, in August, he was interviewed and asked if he brought any documents home. And he said, oh, no, I'd never do that. And then we get an oops.
So let me ask you this, Monroe.
Yeah.
If you want to, should we go so far down the path of quote unquote consistency, playing it fair, that you send in the feds to raid Joe Biden's offices and house and Mike Pence's offices and house to see if there's any other documents so that at least they're the subject of a raid like Donnie Trump was? Or
no, you can't do. The only reason Trump house got raided was he wouldn't give up the goods.
Yeah.
They asked him, they begged him, they pleaded with him, they cajoled him, and he resisted. And so the only way they could get the papers was to raid his house.
Yeah. By the way, I must point out, Jim Coogan, if you're listening, yes, raid is the wrong word. It was a search, not a raid. And they did search Biden's house. Biden wasn't there, but he invited them to do it. So
I understand why Coogan is saying it's the wrong word. However, from Trump's perspective, from MAGA's perspective,
yeah,
it was a raid.
Yeah, it was a raid.
Yeah.
It was the most outrageous thing I've ever seen.
Exactly.
I'll bring it back to the point I was making at the outset. MAGA has so skillfully and so brilliantly played the press in this country. And it's akin to
brilliant. The press is easy.
Okay, you're right. You're right.
It's like, okay, what type of red meat can we feed them? What shiny object do we want to wave in front of them? They'll go for it because they want a new story every day. They don't want you reporting the same story.
Brilliant never applies to there's sleazy little goings on. So they've skillfully played the press, and the press has gone along with it.
Yeah.
And the press is always bending over backwards to show that they're being as fair as they. I was just having a conversation with a reporter about this private conversation and talking about calling people. Politicians get their comments and how many times you have to call them before it's pretty obvious that they're not going to call you back. And we talked about this. It's like, I feel like it's one and done. Like you make a call, you leave a message and they don't call you back. Then they've sent you a message. And that message is, we don't want to talk to you.
Right.
And so this journalist was saying that they call several times.
I'm a three times a year out guy myself.
Three?
Because you could not be home, or you could have not gotten the message.
Hello, cell phones come right to the phone, and then you follow up with a text. Hello.
Hello. I don't answer my cell phone because I get spam calls all the time.
No, but Monroe is the exception. The only man in the universe who still uses his home line. That is true. That is true. Anyway, all right, three.
You can senior citizen, and we're so we're a target. They're trying to sell me a plot on the moon.
Yeah.
Be there before the U.S. lands.
That is true. You are a senior citizen, as am I. All right. So I'm with you. Yeah. We'll get a special prosecutor. See what did Pence know and when did he know it? And let's just drag this thing out.
So you saw Trump came to his rescue.
Yeah, no, that's what I said at the outset of the show with that. I just laughed out loud. This is Donald Trump is the man who stirred up the riot where they were coming to lynch Pence.
Right. Okay.
And now Donald, oh, I feel so sorry for him. He's such a good man.
Right.
Now, Monroe, can there be one actual MAGA person in existence so dumb as to fall for that false sincerity of Trump regarding Pence? Cannot possibly be a MAGA person who actually sincerely, I know they'll say it, they believe it. Go ahead.
Repeat that question. Is there more than 1 million,
like to Tucker Carlson.
There more than 1 million MAGA people. Is that the question that you're asking? I think so.
What about Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity? Do you think they actually think Trump's being sincere at that moment?
No.
Gotta know that it's all BS.
No,
right?
They know it's all BS. They knew that he lost from the beginning.
Yeah.
When the riot was occurring on January 6th. They were calling Trump frantically, saying, "You got to put an end to this. This is going to ruin your legacy."
You know what, Roro? I don't think I've ever asked you this question. I'm going to ask you this question right now.
Yes.
So this, I find this one baffling. So help me out with this. So Donald Trump, we all saw what he was for four years.
Yes.
We all saw what so either liked him or didn't like him. Then you got like the Liz Cheney's of the world who after January 6th and the Adam Kinzinger's of the world after January 6th said he's gone too far. He's ruined his legacy. He's destroying our country. We're against him. And then they admit they voted for him.
Right.
In the case of Liz Cheney, I don't know about Kinzinger. So
Kinzinger too.
I'm like, I really struggle with that. Like you have the officials in Georgia who say, yeah, we voted for him. We wanted him to win, but he's gone too far now. I'm like, how could you want this guy to win? What? There's no difference between a moderate Democrat, basically, and a moderate, what we used to be a moderate Republican. So if Joe Biden wins, it's basically like having George Bush as president. So I don't understand how you could vote for a guy that you know is a lying, cheating crook. Help me with that, Monroe. Why would they vote for Donald Trump knowing that he's a lying, cheating crook?
Because he was doing some of the things that they wanted done. He gave the rich a big tax break. The super rich and the corporations, he changed the Supreme Court so that some of their decades old goals he fulfilled, and so he was bad, but he wasn't all bad until he went one step too far and try to become a dictator. He's planning on being president for life. And they too have ambitions. So they don't want him to be president for life.
Wow. Well, I guess that's as good an explanation as any. In other words, as long as he gave tax breaks to rich people and appointed anti-abortion judges, they could put up with him being a lying, cheating crook.
Right.
And
he was their lying, cheating crook.
Yeah, he was our lying, cheating crook. Oh my God. That sounds like a Chicagoan approaching a mayoral election. Oh, so many Chicagoans in the 90s would, in the O's would be, yeah, I know Daley's administration's corrupt, Ben, but oh my God, the potholes he has filled. So it's kind of similar. We're all, Chicago is just a metaphor for the country. I will get to Monroe's thoughts on the mayoral race in a little while. All right. We, before we leave Washington and go to Ron DeSantis in Florida and Tucker Carlson with his M&M obsession, your general thoughts, Kevin McCarthy, kicking out Adam Schiff from the Intelligence Committee. I was talking to you actually last night. We were chatting on the phone and the news broke on my phone. I go, Monroe, unbelievable. Tit for tat. They've cooked up some explanation for how Adam Schiff, again, a centrist congressman from California who is probably not that far on his policies from George Bush, is somehow or other a diabolical threat to our country. They cooked up some explanation in the lab and to justify doing to him what the Dems did to Gosar and Marjorie Taylor Greene after they put out memes threatening other congresspeople. Monroe, they said they were going to do it. And they're doing it. They're seeking revenge for everybody who went after Trump. Is that how you see it?
It's even bigger than that. In that McCarthy has no power, as in zero power, zilch. And in the next 2 years, he is not going to get anything accomplished. He's not going to pass one bill because he has a Democratic Senate and he has a Democratic president. So whatever bill he passes, his House passes, will die there. So what he had to do to demonstrate to the MAGA people was that he could accomplish something. So his accomplishment was his promise to do tit for tit, tat.
Yeah.
And he has that power because both of those gentlemen are on these on select committees where the Speaker of the House gets to select who comes on the committees. So he's done his thing now, and he's done, period, for the next 2 years, getting anything accomplished. Or he probably won't last 2 years. He might not even last 2 months, but...
Well, do you think that in a way we've just reached a stage now we're just going to constantly kicking people off of committees? Do you follow what I'm saying? Is this just going to be the way it's going to be?
I don't think the Democrats have been very responsible in naming the reasons you're supposed to kick people off the committees and pointing out that's not what the Republicans are doing.
Yeah.
My guess is, and I'm fairly comfortable with this, is that 2 years from now, when they take back the House, they will return to kicking people off because they threaten people's lives,
yeah,
or they got in a sex scandal, or they got indicted for something. You know, the typical things. And there are plenty of Republicans they could kick off a committee for that. They don't have to just make up stuff, yeah, which is what the Republicans have done.
No, I hear you. And it's funny, I was having a conversation before the show began. I was booking an Alderman, Matt Martin, to come on the show. I'm really looking forward to it. And Matt Martin is the vice chair of the Ethics Committee in the Chicago City Council. I always laugh when I hear there's an ethics committee in the Chicago City Council. The chair stepped down. She just quit, didn't finish out her term. And so he, Matt Martin, wanted to be elevated to chair, and then Lori Lightfoot wouldn't agree to do that. So he just started holding meetings anyway. And I was asking, you know, like one of the meetings he could hold, which he's not going to, just what I'm saying, is an investigation into some of the stuff Lori Lightfoot has done with her campaign in terms of soliciting teachers to work to get their students to work for the campaign. That's a legitimate ethics allegation of an ethics violation. He says he's not going to do it. And so don't people just to make that clear. But, you know, I'm starting to think, Monroe, that we could have a shift in Chicago that Chicago becomes more like Washington in this regards, where the city council actually acts as an oversight, if you will, of the executive branch, the mayor's office, in much the way the House of Representatives acts as an oversight over their executive branch, the president.
Right.
And sometimes it's a legitimate investigation.
The West Coast cities operate.
Yeah.
The East Coast cities.
East Coast.
You have strong mayors and weak councils. And on the West Coast, you have strong councils and weak mayors.
Well, we could have an independent council. And I just was thinking about that. And Matt Martin is going to come on the show. We're going to talk about that at length in a week. But I was thinking about that, Monroe. Like, do I want that in Chicago? You know what I mean? Do I want a replica of what's going on in Washington now? And ultimately, I decided that, yes, I would like a variation of what they have in Washington. But I also think that the people of Chicago should call it out when it's an absurd investigation, which like the Hunter Biden investigation, you know what I'm saying? Pretty soon you're going to have an investigation into Joe Biden's daughter's diary. Get ready for that.
Yeah.
But I think in general, my attitude is that the more of a check and balance, the better, even if it's abused from time to time. Your general thoughts on this?
I have mixed emotions about that because obviously we don't need rubber stamps, but we don't want the crazies running the asylum either. And that seems to be what you get either or. I'm trying to think of somewhere where there's a balance where it really works, and I can't right at this moment. But maybe if I tried a little research, I might discover.
Well, we had more or less a balance in 1973 when the Senate investigated Watergate, and Republicans participated with Democrats. They worked in unison with Democrats.
That was a seminal moment. That wasn't
a
practice. Yeah.
But you know, it has happened is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, there were in our state when Blagojevich was arrested for shaking people down back in 2008, the Dems and the Republicans got together and they got him on.
Because
they got him on.
It was mutual hate.
Yes.
He had turned everybody off.
Yeah.
At that time, I had gone downstate to Springfield. Or something, I think, with the Arts Alliance. I was on the board of the Arts Alliance, Illinois. I think that's what I was down there for. And they were complaining because they said he never came to Springfield. He said the Democrats complained he doesn't even come down here. He stays in Chicago all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody was through with him. All right, let's talk Ron DeSantis. I sent you this article as soon as I saw it. I've been talking about it and thinking about it. And I find it really disturbing. Ron DeSantis, his administration in Florida passed a law that would dictate what teachers, history teachers could teach regarding the race. And they felt that an AP course in African-American history had gone too far and was too anti-white. And so they are not going to allow it to be taught. And this is the same Ron DeSantis and Representative MAGA who's trying to get the Republican nomination by saying he believes in free speech. And that government should stay out and should not dictate to people what they think. And here we are literally telling teachers what they can teach. And in my humble opinion, Monroe, they just don't want the truth to be told about race relations in this country. And they would rather us live in a perpetual lie. And so I find this a very upsetting story that's coming out of Florida, and the fact that he's being applauded by MAGA and the Republicans shows, of course, one more indication, in my opinion, that MAGA has lost its mind and gone far right extremist. Your general thoughts about this?
This is a problem. The Civil War has not ended. It never ended. And so this is just another remnant of the Civil War, where there are millions of people in the South who were raised in Southern schools who taught about the war of Northern aggression. Not that this was a rebellion, that that Robert E. Lee was a traitor, not a hero. And so you keep getting variations on that same theme over and over and over again. And so if you are still in the war of 1863 and you have control of the schools, then what you don't want people learning about how horrible slavery was and how horrible Jim Crow was. You don't want any of that. You want the slaves were happy. The masters were really nice to them. They were so lucky that they were freed from Africa and got to come and work here for us for free. That's the things you want taught. And anything that goes against that, you don't want. And when you have the power, and you want to exercise it as such, you do what DeSantis is doing. And he taught at one point, and he basically was teaching that happy slave nonsense at the time when he was a teacher.
Wow, the happy slave nonsense. It's so true. How far do you think they'll get with this? You know, go ahead.
Not far. The problem is, in this modern day and age, you cannot keep secrets anymore. Social media will expose you. Just as he's doing, and the fact that America's demographics are changing. The old white man, racist white man, is dying off. He's a dying breed. The younger people in America who are far more of color, they're more people of color in the demographics that are coming into this country at this point are not believers in this stuff. And so it will be revealed. And you know, if an 8-year-old can see anal sex on the internet, they definitely can see the truth about how slavery was. Mm-hmm.
It's not going to destroy the 8-year-old. This notion that they have to protect white children from feeling bad is
right.
Is like wow.
The biggest customers, buyers of rap music are white children, not blacks. I mean, if you do the numbers,
is that right? I did not know that.
Yeah, white kids listen to it.
I know they listen to it. I just didn't know the biggest numbers, but I mean,
just the graphics. You know, blacks are only 12-13%
valid
of the population.
Valid point. Absolutely valid point. And it's so funny. We made fun of the older white woman from Utah who was running for state senate. And she did a rap song.
Yes.
And you're right. That this shows you how pervasive the influence has been. Then they try to pretend like, white kids are so vulnerable and fragile. They'll just fall apart. You're a little more optimistic than I am on this front. I've watched the denial. Well,
Yeah, well, you know, Texas has been controlling the textbooks industry for the longest because they have such a big population that they can dictate to the publishers what can and cannot go into the books. And so you get, but it's, again, DeSantis has gone one too far on this.
Yeah.
Well, it's not going to hold up.
I was about to say that they've convinced their followers that climate change and global warming are hoaxes. So anything's possible.
And the COVID vaccination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now they'll convince.
I'm sure you saw this where they've discovered that more Republicans have died from COVID than Democrats because of their teachings, the disinformation they were given. So they're killing themselves off.
Yeah. Well, if they can do that, then I guess they can. I feel like they could convince MAGA in the notion of the happy slave, which may be their ultimate goal, the happy slave. And they got they'll drag out Herschel Walker to help make to close the sales pitch on the notion of the happy slave. That wasn't so bad. We were all happy.
Right. And the Master gave us new shoes once a year for Easter. We weren't going barefoot.
That was, I don't know how many masters were giving them new shoes, and maybe one happy master. All right, Monroe.
Let me ask you this real quick. Back in the 70s, did you ever read Mandico?
Oh my God. Everybody was reading that.
Right. Yeah. Those series were so incredible. And that was the best, as far as I'm concerned, a rendering of what it must have been like.
Yeah. Mandingo was making the rounds.
Yeah.
I want to say, I don't know. My time just is I want to say about 1975 is when I stumbled upon it. So it could have been 5 years old. I was always a little behind the times.
Yeah.
Someone gave me the book. You got to read this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa.
Right. Exactly.
It could have been earlier. You know, it was all part of that time of black exploitation movies and just, you know, Jim Brown movies, 100 Rifles. I don't know if you ever saw 100 Rifles where Jim Brown got to make love to Raquel Welch. It was like, that was a big deal.
Right.
So let's close with a little Chicago politics. You are either about to complete or have already completed an essay for the Tribe weighing in on the Chicago mayoral campaign.
Yes.
And we're always talking to you about it.
I'm halfway through it. I'm almost halfway through. I'll be done by tomorrow.
All right. I'm not going to tell him folks what his lead was, but it's a pretty funny lead. Lead being the opening of a story. But you correctly note in your essay that the obvious, I guess, it's really that crime is just dominating this election cycle. Chewy Garcia just came out with a commercial, Jesus Chewy Garcia, where he talks about hiring more police. And Monroe, whatever sentiments seem to have emerged in the wake of George Floyd's murder about defunding the police or even like redistributing some of the monies that ordinarily goes to the police is open window thrown out. Right now in the city of Chicago. That was fast. It's not even a full 2 years ago. Go ahead.
You know, when we talked, I told you I had had an interview. I interviewed Howard Saffel, who is was one of the founders of the Afro-American Police League and sued Mayor Richard J. Daley in 1970 because the Chicago Police Department was discriminating against blacks. And one of the things he pointed out that there used to just be one police league, but now there are three. There's a sergeant's and the union. There's a sergeant's unit and there's a lieutenant's union. and then the regular police union, so that any given mayor has to negotiate with all three of those entities, not just one. But the other thing that he pointed out to me was that these guys, because the whites run the unions, then they get to dictate the rules. And what they're doing is giving themselves desk jobs or jobs in their neighborhoods, you know, on the Southwest side or something, jobs that they want to do versus what needs to be done. And so you have all this violence going on because nobody's really investigating them. He said the police are very good, Chicago police, are very good. If a cop is killed or a white person is killed by a black person, then they're very good at doing real police investigations and finding the killer. But if it's Pookie who shot Johnny down the street, then they can't figure it out. They don't care.
He said this to you.
Yes.
Well, we have to bring him on the show and get him to say it on the mic. That, and that's an old school Chicago policeman, just so you guys folks know, you know, who he is. Old school guy, goes back to the 60s, I want to say.
Well, 60s he started, but they sued, this is the thing, is they sued Daley for discriminating against blacks in 1970, and in 1972 the Supreme Court said, yep, you're right. Mayor Daley and the white power structure in Chicago is pretty racist. So you got to stop that.
So, okay, that's the backdrop. That's a historical backdrop. Right. Of course, it's historical being the key word in that sentence. History, nobody pays attention to in the city of Chicago. History is something that we ignore or go in the opposite direction to continue. So we end up continuing it. So how do you think this election is playing out? Crime is playing out in this election. Is it the person who promises to hire the most cops? Is that the person who has the advantage going into the runoff?
It's this. Well, I'm literally dealing with this right now as we speak, because I got to go and come up with a conclusion. And we have one of the things that I've determined is that we have three different movements going on for this. Mm-hmm. We have the Dallas MAGA movement. Let's have a few activities for the good blacks and let's put the rest of them in prison. And then we have the Mayor Lightfoot approach is I'm doing the best I can, and it's pretty good. And then we have the Garcia approach, where it's their turn. So the Hispanics' turn. Blacks, if we're losing the black population in hundreds, and we're gaining Hispanics. My computer is about to die.
Oh, okay.
I'm looking for the cord.
All right, Monroe Anderson is looking for the cord, ladies and gentlemen. Now, just while he said that, I'll add there's another faction. I'm gonna give him at least credit, Brandon Johnson, who is advocating spending more money on things like mental health services, et cetera, and so forth.
He's not the only one that's mentioned mental health.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's pointed out. But I mean, it's important. I'm not dismissing it, because the Cook County Sheriff, one of the things he said was that Cook County Jail is the largest mental institute in America.
Yeah, Tom Dart said that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and My guess is that, well, I always underestimate lefties, so I'm not even going to make my typical under. Everybody knows I kind of have this assumption, since I always lose, my candidates always lose, that we will always lose. And lefties have told me, you got to stop doing that, Ben. There's more of us out here than you think. And just because you believe in a certain issue or a cause does not mean it's automatically going to defeat, which is kind of how I view things, Monroe. I was really only happy once, politically speaking, and that was when Harold Washington won in 83. Once, Monroe.
Well, this is the thing. These things move slowly.
Yeah, very slowly.
It's 10 years ago, would you have imagined that we'd have gay marriage now?
I mean, 10 years ago? Yeah, we had it 10 years ago. We did not exactly. Right. Your point's very well taken, and I think I said this to you last week. You want to get a sense of how much life has changed on that front. Go take a look at the 2008 vice presidential debate between Sarah Palin and Joe Biden, and the opening statement by Joe Biden on the issue of gay marriage is it'll never happen in a Barack Obama presidency. So right. That is how far this country has come. And I just had a guest on the show yesterday, Monroe, State Representative Bob Morgan from the Deerfield Highland Park area. He was leading the legislative initiative to pass the ban on the sale of assault rifles and weapons, which is being challenged. And he said that on that issue, he was more like you on this. He said that there will be a change. There will be an evolution, that our country's resistance to any kind of gun control, which has been the dominant political theme on this subject for years, will decline over years. He made that prediction.
Yeah. And rapidly, there will be one year when, bam, the bottom will fall out of that, because it makes no sense whatsoever what's being done with that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are changes. We just have to keep pounding on the door and discussing it and pushing it. I mean, because when you have the right side of things, it's the Dr. King quote about justice. The arm of justice is long,
the arc of justice. Yeah.
It's so we're on the way on this stuff. I can remember when Mayor Richard J. Daley would not allow movies to be shot in Chicago.
Yeah,
for fear that they would present a bad image.
Yeah.
Now Chicago has the largest movie studio in the country, and since in center space.
Yeah. Things they do change. I have to recognize that. All right. We have run out of time. Monroe Anderson, thank you very much. Every Wednesday on the Ben Jarofsky Show. Be well. Talk to you next week. All right.
All right. Okay.
All right, that's Monroe Anderson. I'm Ben Jarofsky. I also want to thank the man, myth, the legend, the pride of joy, all of Illinois, without whom this show would be possible. And as Monroe and Richard M. Daley will tell you, back home in Alton, they call him Dr. D. The D stands for the marvelous. Give yourself a raise. Take it out of petty cash. Peace and love, everybody.